Jazakallah khairan to our Hafiz Sahib for the very beautiful recitation wherein he mentioned the verses about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and their signs that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for all of us inshaAllah. Can I request everyone to come closer? You can come close to me. I don't want to feel like I'm on a stage. Everybody come closer inshaAllah. Even if you're close to the mic, it's okay. Dear brothers, those who are in the back, Muhammad, Shayan, everyone close please. Noman, Arman, Ji, can I again request those who are still at home and who are hearing me and who don't want to leave the comfort of your homes, alhamdulillah, the masjid is very nice and warm and sometimes it's a bit too warm. So inshallah, I do request that everybody attends the gathering in the masjid so that you take benefit firsthand, inshallah. So without any further ado, I'd like to pass you over to our first speaker of the day, Mawlana Adam Saab. Mawlana Adam Saab, mashallah, is our local scholar who became a hafiz here as well, and then he went to madrasa in Leicester and he graduated from there as well. So inshallah, he will enlighten us with his words of wisdom, inshallah. Bismillah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله، وازهد فيما عند الناس يحبك الناس. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Alhamdulillah, it is through the fadl, the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in a small locality like Ashton Underline, we are able to witness the second seerah conference of our Nabiyyi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we start, my dear brothers, I would like to discuss with you, I would like to share with you one point, and that is whenever the name of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, then we should all try to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time I read that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason being is that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact has said, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O who you believe, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, convey salutations and peace upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence, once in a lifetime to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fard, And in a gathering, if the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once is wajib. And if the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is continuously mentioned, then to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mustahab, is desirable. So my dear brothers, the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should compel us, should force us, that every time the name Muhammad is mentioned, we should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, before we start the lecture, I would like to thank our Imam Mufti Mudhakkir Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, Wazida Majduhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him lots of success in his endeavors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase him day by day in his ilm and amal. Before the program commenced, before the program got initiated and programmed, he mentioned to me, he texted me to say that if you can talk with regards to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the asceticism of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to be honest, I had no idea what that meant. So I went to Google. Everyone goes on Google, even I went on Google. And I Googled the word, what does this mean? And then I found out that it means zuhd of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Mufti Sahib, if that was the correct translation on Google, then that's my topic I'm talking about today. If it's not the correct translation, then I do apologize, Mufti Sahib. So the zuhd of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is zuhd? My sheikh, my mentor, my murshid, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Salim Dorat Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, mentioned that what is zuhd? Zuhd means abstinence, to have abstinence from the world, to have disliking for the luxury desires of the world, for the luxuries of the world. But what is zuhd in the terms of Sharia? So my Shaykh and Murshid Hafidhahullah Ta'ala mentions that zuhd means that in our heart we should have inclination for the hereafter. Such an inclination for the hereafter that the inclination for the hereafter remains on top and the inclination for this dunya remains below. I.e. our heart should be yearning for the akhirah, yearning for the hereafter, and its yearning for the dunya, for the world should be of a lower degree. And when and what is the result of this? Is that when this is in our heart, when this is our condition, then whenever the crunch time comes, when we have to choose between the dunya and we have to choose between the akhirah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by us having this quality in us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us to prefer and to choose the life of the hereafter over this life. This is dunya. Whenever the crunch time comes, we prefer, our preference, priority is given to the akhirah in result in comparison to the dunya. Let's give an example. What is dunya, first of all? Dunya can be regarded as anything that takes us away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a very simple example, the time of Fajr comes and we have two choices, attend the masjid and read Salatul Fajr, stay at home and sleep. One is dunya and one is akhirah. Staying at home and sleeping and missing the Fajr Salah can be regarded as dunya and is regarded as dunya. And going to the masjid and reading Salatul Fajr with Jama'ah can be regarded as akhirah. So choosing when the time comes, when the crunch time comes, to choose the akhirah over the dunya, this is regarded as zuhd, as abstinence from the world. So my dear brothers, it is because this is a seerah and the life of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, then we need to look into the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see how was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a zahid. How did he abstain from the world? So first of all, we'll mention the incident when the Quraysh, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the Safa, the mountain of Safa, and he made the proclamation to everyone that believe in one Allah. Why? If you believe in one Allah, you'll be saved from any punishment, from any severe consequences that are to face if you disbelieve. So that announcement was made on the Mount of Safa that believe in one Allah. So naturally the Quraysh, who used to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who became extremely furious, we were enraged as a result of this, and they decided to take revenge upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the persecution against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba commenced. As a result of this persecution, what happened is that they tried many forms of stopping Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's da'wat and his propagation. So one tactic the child is that they sent Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, who was not a Muslim, they sent him to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they made a proposal to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi, O Muhammad, stop your da'wat, stop your propagation. Why stop your propagation? Because we'll offer you something as a result. So what did Utbah ibn Rabi'ah say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, إِن كُنْتُ تُرِيدُ مَالًا فَجَمَعْنَا لَكَ أَمْوَالًا فَتَكُونَ لَكَ أَكْثَرَ مَالًا. That if you stop your propagation, then what will we do? If you desire mal, if you desire wealth and commodity, then we will gather for you a lot of wealth, and we'll make you the most wealthiest person in this region of Makkah al-Mukarramah. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ عِزَّةً سَوَّدْنَاكَ. And if you desire izzah, honor, reverence, then what will we do? We'll make you our king. وَإِن كُنْتَ مُلْكًا. And if you desire a kingdom, مَلَّكْنَاكَ. We will make you the king. So look, my dear brothers, again back to what is zuhd, that when the crunch time comes between the hereafter and the dunya, you choose the hereafter over this dunya. So the Quraysh of Makkah, they approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What did they offer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? They offered Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam the luxuries of this dunya, the luxuries of this world. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam give? He gave priority to the akhirah. What did he say? He refused all their proposals. He refused their compromises. He refused their darkhast, their request, and he chose the akhirah. This is what we need to do, that whenever the crunch time comes, we choose the akhirah over this dunya. Let's take another example. The cause of revelation for Suratul Kafirun. The Quraysh again approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we had enough of your propagation. Worship one Allah, worship one Allah, worship one Allah. Enough is enough now. Let's come to a compromise, because as a result of your propagation, there is a lot of differences of opinion between us. There's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of squabbling between us. So let's get rid of this. How can we get rid of this? Let's come up with a compromise. 1 year you worship our idols, and 1 year we worship your Allah. So the compromise seemed very fair. 1 year we worship the idols, and 1 year you worship Allah. A very fair deal. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam declined. How did he decline? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and the whole surah was revealed. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلْيَدِينَ, for you is your deen and for me is my deen. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us this lesson, that whenever the crunch time comes between the dunya and the akhirah, a very fair deal was presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But compromise cannot take place. Compromise cannot take place in the matters of the hereafter. If we are told to choose between the hereafter and this world, there can only be one choice, my dear brothers and sisters, and that is that we choose the hereafter. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us in his life, that look, they came up with a very fair deal, that 1 year we worship your idols, 1 year you worship our idols, but we cannot compromise on this. How can we start ascribing partners for 1 year? Because then what remains of our deen? If 1 year we ascribe partners and 1 year we worship one Allah, then what remains of our deen? That's why, my dear brothers, whenever it comes to the crunch time between dunya and the akhirah, the hereafter and this worldly life, we choose the hereafter. This is the meaning of zuhd. So at this point in time, a lot of people think zuhd means abstinence, that whatever wealth you have, you must live simply, don't live a lavish life, don't indulge yourself in money, don't be wealthy, don't be on the top 10 of the Forbes list, don't be regarded as a wealthy person. This is what we regard as zuhd, as what we regard as abstinence, my dear brothers. This is a part of abstinence. This is not necessarily abstinence. This is not necessarily zuhd. In Maktab, one of the students asked me, Narkari sahab, if a person is a doctor and he earns thousands and thousands a week, and he earns it through halal means, completely permissible means, he works night and day, he's a doctor, his shifts are long, and he earns these thousands, then what's wrong with that there? If he buys a new car, if he buys a good house, if he has a lavish life, what's wrong with that there? Because he earned it in a permissible way, in a halal way. He's a doctor. He studied 10 years, 7 years for being a doctor, and now he's earning his millions, he's earning his thousands. What's wrong with that there? Why does Islam discourage that there? So I replied by saying that Islam doesn't discourage that there. Islam says abstain from this world does not mean that your doctor, the wages that you give half of it in sadaqah, give half of it in charity and buy a terrace house. Buy a simple house. Leave your mansion. Leave your expensive cars and come onto a micra. The Islam does not teach that there. Islam doesn't encourage that there. All Islam is saying that wealth that you have, use it. Don't abuse it. That wealth that you have, use it, don't abuse it. Meaning that wealth that you have, use it in those means that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't use it in those means that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So earn thousands, earn millions, earn billions if you are able to. But that wealth should not deter you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should not deter you, should not make you change your path from the path of the dunya to the path of the akhirah. Should not change the platform from the dunya platform, from the platform of the hereafter to the platform of this dunya. That's what zuhd means. That whenever the crunch time comes, you've got money now, and you want to spend the money, then spend it on those means, those avenues that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time comes for zakah, and now to take out 2.5% from your million is extremely hard. So at this time, what do you do? Do you decide not to take out zakah, or do you decide to take out zakah? If you decide to take out zakah, then this wealth is not a burden for you. This wealth is not a means of curse for you. It is fadl for you, is khair for you. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes wealth as khair. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Khair, wealth is khair, is goodness. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes wealth as fadl. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the fadl, this is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give. As in, this is fadl, this is khair, wealth is good for you, but if you use it and you don't abuse it. But my dear brothers, when we get this wealth, then what happens? Our motives, our objectives, our path, our avenues, the way we spend our wealth starts to change. Then this inclination towards the akhirah is decreased and our inclination towards the dunya is decreased. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ. That do not stretch your eyes in longing for those things that we have given a certain group. زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This is only the splendor of this life. This is only the glamour of this life. What is the result of the glamour of this life? لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِي. We test people, we test them as a result of it. When you get this wealth, when you get this mal, when you get your commodities, when you get your properties, what happens? You get tested. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تتخذوا الضيعة فترغبوا في الدنيا. Do not amass commodities because you'll start inclining towards this world. Have we not seen it that a person has one property, then he looks for another property? Well, let's put the first property on rent, let's start getting a second property. The second property is amassed, let's start getting the third property. You start a business, let's turn it into a franchise. Let's turn it to a global franchise. Why? Because one factory, one house leads to another, one business leads to another, and you want to amass more and more and more. Why? Because that's the khasiyat, that's the speciality of dunya. It attracts you. When it attracts you, you want to go more and more and more. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged the amassing of wealth. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. That your wealth and your children, your spouse, your progeny are fitna for you, are a test for you. Meaning that it's a double-edged sword. If you have wealth, you can use it and you can gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you can use it in the wrong avenues and gain the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what this wealth can do with you. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to live a life of abstinence. Chose to live a life of zuhd. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered everything. He could have been the wealthiest person in the world, but he wasn't. Why? Because he chose that there. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو أن لي مثل أحد ذهبا. If I had with me the amount of Uhud in ذهب, in gold, the whole Uhud, the whole of Mount of Uhud was made gold to me. لسرني ألا تمر علي ثلاث ليال وعندي منه شيء. And I would not like that 3 nights pass, but I would spend every single one of that gold pieces, every single one of those gold biscuits in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the amount of Uhud in gold given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in 3 nights, 3 days, he'll spend the whole thing. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no inclination for this world. The wealth was around him, but was never in his heart. Our problem is the wealth is not around us, but it's in our heart. Or if the wealth is around us, we have the money, the bank balance is high, but also the bank balance of our heart is also high. Our spending, our desire to spend a lot is high. If the wealth remains in your pocket, your bank balance, that's fine. As long as it doesn't enter your heart and it starts affecting your deen, then that's where the problem lies. If it starts affecting your deen, that's where the problem lies. If it doesn't, then there's no problem, my dear brothers. But the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that as much as we can, we should try to abstain from this world and its lucrative profits, its luxuries. Why? Because we don't know when we'll slip. We can slip at any time. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uqbat ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, Sallaytu wara'a an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil madinati al-asra. I read behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Salatul Asr. And all of a sudden, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasalla thumma sallama. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the namaz and he said, Assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum. He turned around and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rushed out the masjid. Fatakhatta riqab an-nas. It is said in the narration that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started climbing over the necks of the sahaba, meaning he was jumping the safs just to leave the masjid. So he ran out the masjid. So we looked at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we were shocked that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rushing like this. We panicked, we got scared. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached his house and he came back and he saw that the sahaba were panicking, that they were shocked that how come Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I have realized your panic, but what happened is that in the house there was a tibr, there was a gold coin, there was some gold in my house, and I did not like لَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ يَحْبَسَنِيَ مِنْهُ, that I did not like that this remained with me. فَأَمَرْتُ بِقِسْمَتِهِ, so I ordered that it be distributed. Look, the worry that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a gold coin was in his house, one gold coin, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam panicked and he ran out of the masjid just to spend that. Why? He didn't like that gold coin remains with him. This was the abstinence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always preferred the akhirah. He always preferred to have less with him. مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى, that which is small and is sufficient is better than that which is a lot and puts you in neglect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, if you have sufficient amount, if you live a simple life, but it leads you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is much better than having a lot and this lots of wealth, and this amassing of wealth leads you to neglect and negligence. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has always encouraged, the Sharia has always encouraged that we amass as little as we can. But my dear brothers, I mentioned before, if you do have a lot of wealth, it is not a problem. You are not frowned upon in the Sharia. Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. Who was Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam? He owned the whole universe. In one narration, he owned half of the universe. Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the most wealth. It is possible that no king had amassed that amount of wealth that he had amassed. But he was azhadun nas. My sheikh says he was azhadun nas. He was the most abstinent. He had the most abstinence inside of him. Why? Because that wealth never deterred him, never averted him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous hadith that comes in Bukhari Sharif, where Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the amount of wealth he amassed when he passed away was in the millions. He was a millionaire in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Is Abdurrahman, is Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu someone to be frowned upon? No. But that wealth, those millions, never diverted him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, have millions, have billions, but let that millions not affect your deen. Let it not be that the time for salah comes, you're working your 9 to 3, and salah, dhuhr salah is going to finish at 3, so your zuhr salah goes as a result of your job. Let it not be that your Asr Salah starts becoming sacrificed due to your job. Your Maghrib Salah is now sacrificed. Your Isha Salah is now sacrificed. Why? Because you need to earn. I need to earn. I need to earn. This is when wealth becomes a means of diverting you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed within his life that I have a life full of abstinence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he pass away? He passed away, and what did he have with him? He had nothing with him except a few things. And one of those things was armor which he didn't have. It was kept in collateral by a Jewish person. A Jewish person had it. Why did he put that in rahan? Why did he put that in collateral? He couldn't afford barley for his house. So because he could not afford barley for his house, so he gave a Jewish person armor, and he said, this is my armor. If I'm unable to repay my debt, then you can keep my armor, and in lieu and in exchange for my armor, can I have some barley so I can feed my household? That was the life of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he couldn't afford barley, wheat, simple commodities. He couldn't afford them, so he had to make an exchange with a Jewish person to afford these things. That's how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to make the dua, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammad quta. Oh Allah, make the rizq, the sustenance of the household of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sufficient. I.e. make it enough. Don't make it too much and don't make it too less. Make it sufficient. Enough for us to survive. And this is what the Sahaba also learned from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we also need to learn from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we should live simple. We should try to live a simple life. If we don't need another jacket, we don't need another jacket. If our phone is enough for us, then our phone is enough for us. Okay, yes, if the car is playing up, if we are in need of a new car, then buy a new car. But if we are not in need of a new car, then what's the reason for buying a new car? If our house is sufficient, if our house is comfortable, if we enjoy the comforts of our home, then what's the reason for buying the second house, my dear brothers? Because the second house will lead to the third house, and slowly your inclination to the dunya will increase and your inclination to the akhirah will decrease, my dear brothers. This is why Mus'ab ibn Umair, as I said, the Sahaba imitated the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the T. Mus'ab ibn Umair, who was Mus'ab ibn Umair? My young friends, listen very carefully, who was Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, before the advent of Makkah, before the advent of Islam, when he used to walk, the paparazzi used to follow him. The name and the flame, the fame, the cameras used to follow him. What is Mus'ab wearing today? What is Mus'ab wearing today? What designer clothes has Mus'ab got on him today? What is he wearing today? What horse, what conveyance has he conveyed upon today? What is Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu? He was the showbiz used to follow him, as you could say. Everyone used to look at what Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to wear, how he used to walk, how he used to talk. He was the highlight of everyone. Every mother desired that my son be like Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. That was prior to Islam. Let's go into the end of the life of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, if I remember correctly. And when it came to the time of takfeen, when it came to the time of shrouding Mus'ab ibn Umair, the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that the only thing that Mus'ab ibn Umair left was a cloth. In turika wajh in ghutya wajhuhu turika rijlahu wa in turi wa in ghutya rijlahu turika wajhuhu. That Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, if we covered his face, his feet were left exposed, and if we covered his feet, his face was left exposed, meaning he never even have enough for takfeen, for a cloth, for a shrouding, for him to get a proper burial. That's how much wealth Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu left with him, my dear brothers. Why? Because he imitated the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his T. And this is what we have to learn. And this is what we need to bring in our lives, my dear brothers, that this abstinence from the world, our inclination should just be for the hereafter. There should be more inclination for the hereafter than for our inclination for this dunya, my dear brothers. And how do we get this zuhd into our lives? The Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man nujalis? Who should we accompany? Whose company should we sit in? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things of whose company you should sit in. When you look at that person, he reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you sit in his company, your ilm, your knowledge increases. And When you sit in his company, your inclination towards the hereafter increases. This is what I'm trying to get across to you, my dear brothers, that if you want zuhd into your life, if you want your inclination for the hereafter to increase, adopt those people, adopt the company of those people whose inclination for the hereafter is also of a high level. My dear brothers, whoever you sit with, their company affects you. In English, we call it peer pressure. Whoever you sit with, the pressure of your peers has an effect on you. Have we not seen that person who entered year 7 and he was very innocent, the only thing he cared about was football, football, football. But when he reached year 11, the only thing he cared about was making money out of drugs. Why did that happen? In year 7 he was very innocent, in year 11 he changed. Why? In 5 years, how did he change that much? Because of peer pressure. The people who he accompanied, they were taking drugs, they were smoking, they were doing these kind of things. So naturally, he gained a liking for this. It's natural, my dear brothers. Whoever you sit with, if I have no inclination towards football, but I sit with people who always talk about football, I naturally will have an inclination towards football. Why? Peer pressure. It has an effect on you. Company has an effect on you. So, my dear brothers, adopt the company of those people whose inclination towards the hereafter is of a high level. Slowly, slowly, their company will have an effect on you, and your inclination for the hereafter will also increase. Well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala al-nabiyy al-ummi al-kareem bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimeen. My dear brothers, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot be encompassed in 3 minutes, in 25 minutes, in half an hour. It requires you to take out time for you to study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sha'iru al-mashriq allama Iqbal rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, لفظ ہے بے بس زباں ہے معذور مجھ سے کیا ہوگا ذکر رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. حسان ابن ثابت رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ mentioned, ما مدحت محمدا بمقالتی ولكن مدحت مقالتی بمحمدی. I have not praised Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم through my speech, but I have praised my speech through the mention of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. The mention of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم cannot be done in one conference. You need to take out time, my dear brothers. Learn the life of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is nobody else's Nabi, it is your Nabi. Learn his life, mention his life, study his life, and slowly, slowly bring the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.